to see the kind of industries that are opening up.
This is Local Biz Now with Joe Vagnone, where your business matters. Local Biz Now.
You have to determine what is working, what isn't working.
Joe Vagnone is a respected business broker, helping individuals buy and sell businesses. Joe has successfully owned and operated many companies in a variety of industries. This is Local Biz Now. Biz Now, because your business matters.
And we are live. Welcome to the number one live business show in North Carolina, coming to you from the Burner Cigar Studio, home of premium cigars and exceptional cigar smokers. This is Local Biz Now. I am Joe Vagnone, and you can enjoy a delicious and tasty cigar at Burner Cigar, located in Burkdale Village. Please go by there. Tell them Joe sent you. First cigar is on Joe. Just tell them you heard it on WSIC. We hope this Monday afternoon you can sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hope we can inspire, inform, and entertain you, because that's what we do here at News Talk WSIC. 105.9 FM, 100.7 FM, 1400 AM. I am Joe Vagnone, and we've been doing this strong for over 10 years. We have well over 850 small business owner and community leaders that we have interviewed over the years. We've got well over 550 interviews, videos on our YouTube channel. Go to Joe Vagnone Business Broker on YouTube. Again, Joe Vagnone Business Broker. And Julie has done an exceptional job of putting all the playlists together. There's a bunch of good stuff. And we're going to do something else today with my buddy. And it's going to be another good video that will be on there later on in the week as well. If you happen to miss this or miss any of our shows or want to hear it again, you can go to, again, Joe Vagnone Business Broker on YouTube and pull that stuff up. We are also live on the book, live on the tubes, live on the X, live on any place you want to go, because Wilton is just throwing it out there for anybody that wants to listen to it. In case you don't know Joe Talk, book is Facebook, tubes is YouTube, and X is X. And every month, I have a co-host for the entire month. This month is no exception. I have my good friend, whether he will admit it or not, Danny Decker. He is the founder of Marketing Simplified. He also is a co-author of Automatic Marketing Machine. Danny, my friend, thank you for being here, buddy.
Yeah, Joe, it is always a pleasure. It was great last week. It's great to be here again today. Thanks for having me.
So, refresh my memory. How did we meet? Because somewhere you became one of my favorite people. Now, when did that happen? How did that happen?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think it was like 2018, 2019. So I sold my first marketing agency and was getting into the coaching, speaking, consulting game. I had just written a book. And we...
That was your first book.
My first book, Marketing Simplified. And we got a booth at the Lake Norman Business Expo.
That is an exceptional show. I got to tell people, there's not a better event that the Chamber puts on, in my opinion, than that phenomenal expo that they put on every year.
Agreed. And it was either 2018 or 2019, because it was before 2020. It was probably 2019. I had a booth. I had my book there. You and Julie came up, we shook hands. I'd known of you because, you know, everybody knows Joe if you're in the Lake Norman area.
And I was being nosy, right?
You probably were, yeah. That sounds right. Yeah. And we had a conversation about the book, and one thing led to another, and we had some good conversation. And then one day you invited me on the show, and then the rest is history.
The rest is history. We're such good friends. Our wives know each other, and we've been to dinner.
Yeah, had dinner.
I can't say that about all my co-hosts, you understand.
Well, there you go. Love it.
So, for those people that don't know, how can they reach you if they want to reach you?
Yeah, so the easiest way, honestly, is to just go on LinkedIn and search for Danny Decker, or you can do that on Facebook, or my website is DannyDeckerMarketing.com. I have a few different things going on, but DannyDeckerMarketing.com will kind of connect you to all of it.
And so Bill Russell, who has been a fan of this show for many years, had been a co-host many, many times until I found him. You know,
I'm his mentee. You understand that? Now that Bill has his own show, you understand, he no longer will reduce himself to being on my show. But he does watch us, Danny. And he just put on Facebook that, what's the date? It is October the 8th is the next Business Expo.
Fantastic. Well, I will definitely be there.
So remind people that don't remember, what is Marketing Simplified, and a little bit about the book Automatic Marketing Machine.
Yeah, no, thanks, Joe. So Marketing Simplified is basically my belief that marketing doesn't have to be as complicated as many folks have made it, right? And so my goal with starting that, which is really a consulting agency, strategic consulting, is really just to help business owners make sense of the marketing world, the various options out there, think through who are their ideal clients, what is the messaging that's going to be attractive to their ideal clients, right? Like cut through the confusion, the mystery around marketing. You know, we talked about it last show, Joe. There are all these fancy terminologies that, you know, marketing people like to throw out there for various reasons. But ultimately, it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. And so Marketing Simplified is kind of my, you know, brand on the coaching and educational side of things. I also, as you, I think you're aware, Joe, about a year ago, also launched a separate agency called the Automatic Marketing Agency that is built around the book, The Automatic Marketing Machine. And that is more of a done-for-you lead generation using Facebook ads and LinkedIn ads and landing pages and all of that fun stuff. So I have built a team on that side of things. It's myself and we've got five full-timers and, you know, really focused on growing that as well as sort of sticking with the educational side of things on Marketing Simplified.
And you and I connected because for years, us small business people keep hearing marketing people tell us that they can do this, you know, and and after a while it gets to be like a snake oil salesman, right? I mean, there's no way we know whether what they're saying works until we write them a check and 8 months later, it's not working, right? So, and all of us small business people have been through that. And when I met you and I read your first book, I could tell you had a lot of bullet points, you know. I could tell this guy, he really does try and simplify things and break it down so that it's easy for me to measure. This is working. Keep doing it. This is not. Let's do something
yeah.
else.
And I love that you brought that up, Joe, because I think that's a misconception, you know, a lot of folks have about the marketing world. You can't guarantee that any one given campaign is going to work, right? Like there are just many, many variables out there in the world that can impact the success or failure of any marketing campaign. So I always tell people a failed marketing campaign is not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is actually, from a marketing perspective, is actually just when you don't know if it's working or not, right? Because that's how you get yourself in that trap of you just got to keep writing a check every month, because you're not sure if it's working. And so you're afraid to turn it off. But also, you don't know that it is working.
Right.
You're not. So what I always tell people is you just have to get clear on your objectives going into a campaign. Like, why are you doing this thing? Are you doing it to generate leads? Okay, great. Well, then how are we going to measure whether it's working? Are you doing it for brand awareness? Okay, that's cool too. But how are we going to measure? So that's the conversation, is you just have to be clear about how you are measuring success or failure.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I pulled off of the internet, off your website, some Marketing Simplified stuff we're going to dig into.
Sounds great.
If it's Monday afternoon, your business matters. You are listening to the number one talk business show in all of North Carolina, coming to you live from Burner Cigar Studio. Premium cigars and cigar smokers, the best in the world. Wonderful people. Go on by there and light up, and it will absolutely change the way you feel about your day. Life is good at Burner's. Go by there. Burkdale Village, in the same parking lot as Dick's Sporting Goods. They are exceptional people. Go by there and tell Josh that Joe sent you, and your first cigar is on me. It is Monday afternoon. We hope to inspire, inform, and entertain, because that's what we do here at News Talk WSIC. So, Danny, if it is Monday afternoon, say it.
Your business matters.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Now, Danny, if it also is Monday afternoon and you're a co-host, you got to deliver. Like, we don't just let you come in here and chit-chat. You got to teach some people some stuff. So what I did today is I preempt going to the Google. I went to your Google, and I pulled out a marketing simplified pamphlet. This is a free pamphlet that people can get if they go to your website. Yeah. What website can they go to get this?
DannyDeckerMarketing.com.
DannyDeckerMarketing.com. But I went and got it for you. So I schnooked it for you already. And there's 10 ways to generate more leads for your business. Here's a kicker. Without spending a penny. Let me say that again. 10 ways to generate more leads for your business without spending a penny. Now, you can go to Danny's website and get this for free, or you could sit back, relax, and I'm going to give you the information. Yeah. Are you ready?
I am, but let me even jump in, Joe.
Oh, you're going to say something about that.
I'm going to say
something. You upset that I did this.
No, I love that you did this. I love that you did this. But, you know, I want to touch on the reason I titled it the way I did, without spending a penny, right? Because, you know, I'm sure you and I could talk about this. There are businesses in different stages of growth, right? And there are a lot of folks out there that are starting a new business, relatively new to business, don't have a whole lot of money to spend on marketing. And I like to say they're in the hustle versus spending, right? They have more time to invest than money,
right?
And there are a lot of folks out there. I get that question a lot, frankly, which is, hey, I'm new. I just started a business, you know, real tight budget. What can I do? I don't have money to spend on marketing. And so that's really what this report is designed to do. I'm not trying to say this is all anybody needs to do. As we grow our business, you do want to spend money, right? Because you don't want to trade your time for dollars forever.
Right.
But I think kind of everything that we cover in this conversation is a great way to grow your business if you are in that stage where you have time and you're willing to put in the hustle. And you just don't necessarily have the budget yet.
So before I met you, you know, back in the day, I was a master. Let me say this to you again. A master. Okay. I know when I use that word to you, it means something. Guerrilla advertiser. A master at it, you understand? So I'm going to be interpreting this as a modern day guerrilla marketing approach. Is that a fair interpretation of this?
Yeah.
So let me see if I like it. I'm going to critique these for you.
Oh, okay. Boy. This is going to be good. This will be good.
Okay. So number one, okay, call past clients. So talk about that.
Yeah.
It sounds simple. I got to be honest with you. I can't remember the last time I've ever done it.
Yeah. So that it's just a classic example of where we don't have to make this complicated. You want to generate some more cash flow this month because things are tough. Well, where better to start than pick up the phone and call clients you've worked with in the past and say, hey, you know, how you doing? How are things? Catch up, you know, have a little conversation and ask them, hey, is there anything I can take off your plate? Right.
And it's an easy call. It's not a cold call, right? I mean, they know you.
Yeah.
They'll probably take the call.
They know you. Presumably they like you. Presumably you've done good work for them in the past. So why not block off an afternoon, right? And call, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 clients you've worked with in the past and check in, see how they're doing and ask if there's anything else you can do to help them. Honestly, if you actually do that, I tell this people all the time, if you actually spend 2 hours doing that, I guarantee you, you're going to walk away with some level of business.
Yeah, because even if they don't need any right now, they might tell you about a friend or someone like that that does.
Bingo. Right.
Okay.
And it's also just a great way to show people that you care, right? You know, you're checking in on them. You're asking, you know, how's life? What's new, right? Just take that 5 minutes to invest in the human relationship,
right,
and good things are going to come of it.
Okay. Number two, call your referral sources. Boy, I really should do this more often. I don't do that well. I do send them a newsletter every month, but I don't physically actually make contact with them. When I read this, I kind of felt kind of low. Like, man, I ought to do that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like, if you actually run the numbers, most businesses find that it's a relatively small percentage of people that make a outsized percentage of the referrals to them, right? Like, you have probably a small handful of people, maybe it's a big handful of people, right? But you can identify, you know, a core group of people that are good referral sources. Either they've already been good referral sources or you know they could be good referral sources. And so again, when you're sitting there saying, I've got time, How do I grow my business? That to me is number two.
I don't want to dwell on this, but it's such a great idea. Like when I call, do I just say, hey, I sure could use another league? Like what am I doing when I call? Am I thanking them for the last lead? Walk me through what that looks like.
I always want to lead with some human connection, right? And by the way, I don't want people to make these calls specifically and only for the reason of getting business out of it, right? Like, truthfully, if you've worked with these referral sources or these clients in the past, you've got some level of relationship with them. And hopefully, as a human being, you care about them, right? And so part of it is going into the conversation, looking to just have that human conversation and make some connection, check in with them. How are they doing? How's life? How's the family? How's business, right? You have the conversation. And honestly, oftentimes you don't even have to ask for the referrals, right? Because just the fact that you call them up and created that conversation, that puts that light bulb in their mind. Oh, I remember Joe. Joe's great. Yeah, right. I do have. And then, but if the opportunity comes and they say, hey, you know, what can I do to support you? How are things? It's a good chance for you to be like, well, I always appreciate referrals. I'm specifically looking for this type of person, this type of case, this type of client, whatever. And it usually flows very naturally.
Okay. We can't spend that kind of time on all 10 of these.
You're asking me questions.
Okay. Number three, sharpen your networking strategy. What does that mean?
Boom. It means you got to be networking.
I got to go to Bill Russell's chamber and shake his hand and say hi to him and give him a hug.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Okay.
Bottom line is, though, it's being strategic. Right? A lot of business owners make the mistake, they confuse networking with net socializing, right? And so they go hang out with people they know, but who aren't necessarily actually in position to refer them business.
I kind of proved to you I'm the opposite, because that's why I came up to your table. I want to meet people I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm part of a networking thing. I go 2 times a month and then I ask some questions like, who are you networking with? And it's like, well, yeah, these are all my friends from the last 20 years. I'm like, okay, there's nothing wrong with socializing, but like, let's not confuse the
two. It's not a barbecue. Yeah. It's a networking.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're networking, you need to figure out where you shouldn't be networking somewhere unless there are either potential clients or potential referral sources.
Exactly. That's what you said. Number four, grow your social media network. I got to be honest with you. Us old folks, we just hate this social media. We got to do it. I know I'm on the book and the chain and the tubes and the X and all that with this radio show, but I got to tell you something. We really don't like it. We really don't like talking about ourselves in a public way like that, you know? You're saying we got to do it.
I'm saying you got to do it. Or, you know, if you don't want to spend money, you got to do it yourself, or you pay someone to do it for you. But, social media, everybody's on social these days. It's still a very cost-effective or free way to reach people. So yeah, if you're trying to grow your business, you need to have a presence on social media, or you got to get a Julie to help set you up with the presence on social media.
Everybody needs a Julie. Now this next one is right up, North Mecklenburg, Lake Norman area, and that is number five, host a lunch and learn. The chamber set that up for you, baby. All you got to do is pick up the phone, call the president or the whoever answers the phone at the chamber, and they'll set you up with a lunch and learn.
That's awesome. Yeah. And the idea
what
is...
What a special treat that is.
Yeah, that is huge. I actually wasn't aware of that, but now that I know that, that's really good to know.
Whoa, you saying I gave you some information?
I learned something today, Joe.
All right.
Yeah, but a lunch and learn is great because, first off, you know, today's world, since COVID, everything shifted online. Everybody's doing webinars, and that's understandable, and there's a lot of good things out of that. But I have found that people are actually looking for human connection again, and in-person events can be great. And so the idea behind a lunch and learn is you're talking on your area of expertise. I could do a lunch and learn talking about marketing. Joe, you could do a lunch and learn talking about how to get your business ready to sell, right? And bottom line, you invite people, you bring them out to the lunch and learn. Maybe you pay for the cost of the sandwiches, right? Or maybe you get a sponsor to do it.
Well,
right?
Most of the time, everybody just brings their own lunch.
There you go.
And sits there and enjoys listening for people for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great way, in-person connection. You spend a little time talking, teaching. It makes you look like an expert, right? And it's a great strategy.
Okay. Number six, host a webinar. I've never done this.
Oh, I know you haven't, because we've talked about it before.
That when I read this one, it got me scared, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, keep in mind, and I should say this at the beginning. if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, this is too much to do. You don't, I'm not saying you have to go do all 10 of these things. I'm saying choose one or two and execute on it, right? Like right. Choose the one that resonates with you and get on it. This is a buffet, right? Like pick and choose what you want to execute on. Some people might love the lunch and learn. Other people, if you have a more like nationwide audience, for example, you're not going to do a lunch and learn, but you could do a webinar, right? It's the same concept. You present.
That's what I was going to ask you. So really the webinar is a lunch and learn virtual.
Yeah,
stop.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. You teaching something of value, right? So it's got to be value oriented. You have to be teaching something to your audience.
So number seven is add a lead magnet to your website. We don't have time. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll get the last three.
I'm here for two more weeks, Joe.
10 ways to generate more leads for your business without spending any money, not even a penny. And we're on number seven when we come back.
Love it.
You are listening to Local Biz Now. I am Joe Vagnone. If it's Monday afternoon, say it, Danny. Say it, say it.
Your business matters.
Marketing Simplified. We'll be right back.
It's Local Biz Now with Joe Vagnone on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Yeah, number one talk business radio show in North Carolina. If it's Monday afternoon, your business matters, and we're happy that you're here. Wilton, fire it up.
From rescuing lives to rescuing your senses, I'm Josh Johnson, and Burner Cigar is a go-to escape for relaxation. Let the aroma and flavor of our cigars rescue your senses from the everyday hustle. Experience a new level of unwind.
And I must tell you something, Burner Cigars is a wonderful place. I've been telling people for years, the cigar is like this exceptional equalizer, because you could be sitting next to a multimillionaire or literally my father-in-law. It wouldn't or Wilton. It wouldn't matter. We enjoy each other's company, and that cigar is a wonderful hour to 45 minutes of time. I tell people it's much better. I do a lot more business in the cigar shop than I've ever done in the golf course. So go buy a Burner Cigar. They're in Brookdale Village, and tell them that Joe sent you, and your first cigar is on me. Thank you so much for being there. We're going by there. We appreciate that. So I am talking with Danny Decker. He is the master of Marketing Simplified. He's got something on his website that you can get, 10 ways to generate more leads for your business without spending a penny. And we have already gone through seven of them, and I'll go through all 10 before we end this, but now we're on number eight, okay? And if you're on the book, Julie's already putting that stuff on the book for you so you can see it. Number eight, create an introductory level product or service to sell. What does that mean? And not all of us can do that.
Not everyone can do it. Remember, this doesn't have to be, you know, everyone doesn't have to do everything on the list. But the idea is, if you can make it easy for someone to engage with you, instead of like, you know, having to go for the whole caboodle right away, right? Like, Joe, I don't know if this is something you do, but like maybe someone's not sure if they want to sell their business, but they could hire you for 60 minutes to do an evaluation of their business, right? And so it's like looking for bite-sized pieces to get to sort of welcome people into the process of doing business with you.
And it's funny you say that, because I've just started doing that, telling people that I'll value your business, but if you want to sell it on your own, you're more than welcome to do that. And then I can advise you later, sort of this cafeteria style offering.
Perfect.
So I'm in it.
Look at
I'm
that.
Doing this. Okay. All right. Who knew? Number nine, special offers to your email list.
I love email marketing. I tell all my clients, you need to grow your email list. You need to pay attention and nurture your email list. And every once in a while, if you need some more business, send out an email, send out a blast to your email list, and make them a special offer for subscribers only.
Right. Okay. And last one, number 10, create a joint venture or a partnership. What does that look like?
Yeah, maybe you can't find any customers, and so who can you partner up with that has a similar customer base, right? I could reach out to a different marketing firm and be like, hey, you want to do a joint venture? I'll offer this program, you know, this 60-minute program to your clients, and I'll split the proceeds with you 50-50. And all you have to do is send out my promotional materials to your list, right? So there's a million different ways you can slice that. But the idea is tap into somebody else's list, tap into somebody else's relationships.
Right. Danny, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
10 ways to generate more leads for your business without spending a penny. You can get that on the book. You're also going to be able to get that on Joe Vagnone Business Broker YouTube as well. And you certainly can get it on Danny Decker's website. Danny, how can they reach you, buddy?
DannyDeckerMarketing.com.
So, okay, Wilton, I need a little bit of music. It's not very often we got a big, smart person in the room, right? So I want this intro to be good. So, Wilton, I could use just a little bit of nice, pleasant music. Do you got any music? Look at that look he's giving me. Not one drop. All those buttons and you got no... Okay, Wilton, I want you to sing something. Oh. Here we go. And now, let me introduce you to Martha Ramsey, owner of Ramsey Law Firm. Martha... Oh, that was nice. Well, that was nice.
Thank you very much, Joe. I'm so excited to be here.
So everything you just heard at the beginning of the show, I apologize. I'm happy that you still stayed.
I was just amazed at the tips that I saw and was writing some down for my own business.
So, Martha, thank you for being here. We have not met.
We have not.
You and Danny have done some business together in the past.
We have.
And so when I talked to Danny, he said, Joe, I've got somebody we got to get on the show. And when Danny says that, I listen.
Well, he's a smart guy.
Because Danny deals with a lot of attorneys.
He does.
So when he told me Martha was somebody to talk with, I kind of believed him.
Well, good. I'm glad that he did. So, and I'm glad you believed him.
So Ramsey Law Firm, give us a little idea of what it is you guys do.
So we represent people who've been injured. And primarily, we focus on workers' compensation, representing people who've been injured on the job. But we also represent a lot of folks who've been injured catastrophically in motor vehicle accidents or people who've been injured in other ways.
So, Danny, I don't think you know this. Now, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble because of small business people. We hate women like this. She's the one who brings the workers' comp to us when we swear that Wilton was never hurt. I did not hurt Wilton, you understand.
You should actually love me because I'm getting a return on the premiums that you're forced to pay anyway through the state of North Carolina. And what it means is if you can make the insurance company do the right thing and honor all the premiums you paid, you're going to get your employees back healthier and you're going to get them back quicker. If you have a bad insurance company, it's taken more time, your employees are out longer, and they're not getting good medical treatment.
And you are correct. I was picking on you because the truth is workers' comp actually saves a lot of liability money for us small business people. So it absolutely is a very good, healthy thing. It was set up years ago to actually help us small business people.
Right?
Yeah, that's
right. It's good you know the knowledge of the history of how the Workers' Compensation Act started.
No, I don't. Give it to me.
Oh, well, it was actually a compromise between labor and management back in the 1930s, where owners wanted to be protected from being sued for being negligent.
Right.
But workers needed to have some protection and rights. So there was a compromise which says, if you're injured on the job, you can't sue your company separately under the civil action for damages or for liability, but you can recover the benefits that are promised you under the Workers' Compensation Act.
Got it. And I've always known that it's actually a good, healthy thing for small business people. It actually is a cheap insurance for most of us small business people.
And I'm horrified when I see the owners opt out because it's a great, like you said, Joe, cheap option for owners to protect themselves, especially anyone who's traveling. You know, if you're driving in your car right now and you're listening to this radio station, you need to be making sure that you're on your workers' compensation coverage, because if you're involved in a motor vehicle accident, you'll have coverage through your workers' compensation as well as possibly having a claim against the person who is at fault for the
accident. Well, and I'll just throw in, you know, as a business owner, it makes me feel great knowing that my employees would be covered by something like that.
You took the words right out of my mouth and out of my mind, Danny, which was it allows me to sleep at night. You know, right.
Yes.
Yeah, because the liability would just be ridiculous.
Well, and I've also sued some uninsured employers, and that's always sort of heartbreaking because I see people having to sell a lot of business assets to be able to satisfy what insurance should have paid for if they just paid the premium. You know, we're talking about having to pay all of the doctor's bills and all of the lost time out of pocket from the business.
It's not worth the risk. Get workers' comp.
Right. Which is funny that I'm selling insurance because I sue insurance companies all the time. So there's that dichotomy.
Right. But that's what this show is all about. We are trying to educate them. And I'm here to tell you, in my experience, it is the best, cheapest protection you could have in most cases. There are some industries which are ridiculously expensive, but that's because the liability is so large.
Exactly right. The construction industries, the roofing industries, guys on scaffoldings, all of those premiums are going to be larger, but that's because the risk is so much larger.
And
so
your entire livelihood is at risk if you don't have workers' comp. It's not worth the risk.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, as a small business owner, I see both sides of it, right? I pay my workers' compensation premium, but I also sue businesses all the time. You know, and I've shut businesses down who don't have proper workers' compensation coverage and had a catastrophic injury for one of their employees. I mean, I've had guys shoot nail guns shoot in their eye. I've had nail guns shoot in the knee. I've had horrible burn injuries. I've had explosions. I've had lots of falls. So, you know, everyone thinks it's not going to happen, but I've seen that it does.
Okay, so, Danny, I don't appreciate you bringing a woman in here that's put people out of business. You understand that, don't you? Right? Okay.
Your business matters.
That's right.
Protect it.
You're exactly right. Protect it. Get the workers' comp. It's absolutely worth it. Let's back up a little bit.
Sure.
You didn't wake up one day and realize you want to put people out of business, right? So walk me through how you got into workers' comp.
Oh, absolutely. I was a lawyer and doing a variety of things, child custody, traffic, business, and got into the workers' compensation arena because what I found was I could really make the biggest difference to people. Someone out of work, someone who needs medical treatment, I can get them that help for medical care. I can get them time to cover their expenses while they're out of work from an insurance company. And, you know, they get better. They go back to work, their bills are paid, and they're very grateful. So I've really enjoyed that aspect of just working with everyday people and helping everyday people, you know, get back up off the ground out of the worst time in their life.
So we've only got about 30 seconds till we go to break. If somebody finds themselves needing workers' comp assistance, how can they reach you?
Oh, they should absolutely call the Ramsey Law Firm, 704-376-1616.
One more time.
704-376-1616. My staff is there. They'll ask you some quick questions. We'll decide if we can help you and set up a consultation with me.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more with the marvelous Martha Ramsey of Ramsey Law Firm. We'll be right back. Yeah. Number one live talk business show in all of North Carolina. I'm here with my friend, whether he will admit it or not, Danny Decker, founder of Marketing Simplified, co-author of Automatic Marketing Machine. Danny, thank you so much for being here, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Joe.
And you have brought us an exceptional guest, Martha Ramsey. Martha is with the Ramsey Law Firm. And I'm kind of believing like you're like the tip of the pinnacle of workers' comp. Oh, nice, Wilton.
Very nice. That's why I slipped him that extra money up front.
So how long have you been doing this?
Oh, gosh, I've been doing this for over 30 years.
The age doesn't.
Absolutely.
Danny looks old.
We
you don't look old.
We lie about it forever. We will lie about it. But yeah, I've been doing it a long, long time and has been really interesting kind of how the way you can advance and represent different types of folks over the years. I've been fortunate to represent some NFL players in the past.
Well, and Danny and I, we'll talk about that at a break. Let's talk about that because I think I told you, I had no idea that professional sports athletes still fall underneath workers' comp. I would have never thought that.
Right. So the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL actually carves out the rights between the players and management, right? We know that owners get 51% and players get 49%, take of all the revenue. The 49% for the players is divided into what they get paid for benefits, medical, health, then their salaries, the salary cap. But part of that money, the 49%, goes to providing workers' compensation coverage for the NFL players.
I had no idea.
Isn't that interesting?
It is very, because I just assumed all of their bills were simply paid by the teams.
So when they're under the collective bargaining agreement and they're under a contract with the team, that's correct. The team is responsible for paying 100% of their bills and their paragraph five salary is what we call it under the collective
bargaining.
Don't you
love the way she says paragraph five, section
salary,
two.
Section two.
Don't do that, Martha. We can't keep up with you when you do that, okay?
Under the collective bargaining agreement. But when they're out of a contract, what are their rights? So if a player gets released when he's injured, if a player has a surgery with the team and then needs more rehab afterwards, right, what do they do, you know, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road?
Right.
What kind of protection is there for these players who have given up their body, you know, for the
Absolutely.
Sport that we love?
Right. Yeah. So you love football?
I do. Yeah. I'm a football fan.
Yeah.
Certainly do enjoy the Panthers, although not recently. But yes, enjoy watching them play. It is interesting that I get a different point of view of it because, you know, everyone here will see a big hit, right? And you'll see the guy get
That's
up and
right.
walk away. We all go, oh, big hit. And then he gets up and he walks away. And,
you get a phone call
good.
Monday afternoon.
Yeah, I see what really happens to those guys later
right.
on and
right.
what happens to them down the road. So it has made football slightly less enjoyable for me. But I really enjoy, again, helping the players make sure that they're protected and their families are protected for the future.
So is this any professional sport that workers' comp still has to play a role?
Yeah. The way the collective bargaining agreements are for Major League Baseball and for basketball and for hockey, workers' compensation benefits are a protected right under all those professional agreements. So any of those professional athletes can file. I'm the NFLPA panel attorney for the Carolina Panthers. So I'm able to, you know, advise football players. But, you know, certainly we learn a lot about the collective bargaining agreements for other athletes. And there is an interaction between the workers' compensation benefit and the collective bargaining agreement, which I have to be trained on and am aware of.
Do you get involved in that actual negotiation of that those details?
I don't. I leave that all to the guys in Washington and the labor law okay. folks. So I'm focusing on how it applies.
But I would
to
think
workers
you have opinions
here.
On some of those things and the way they're being written up. I mean, very few people have your level of experience, right, to do this.
Well, you know what is interesting? Recently, I have been asked to help with some legislative changes at the North Carolina legislature and negotiating some of the terms of proposed changes between business and between injured workers.
Right.
And so that's been very interesting as well. So a little bit of everything, but honestly, going back, you know, what I really like is just making sure that people are protected.
Yeah, but
yeah, well, I just wanted to jump in. You know, one of the reasons I honestly wanted Martha to join us on the show, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with you guys for a couple of years. And this, to me, is something that I think is super applicable for every business, law or otherwise, which is I have always been just really impressed by your sort of commitment to systems and organization as you build your team, you know, because you have very successfully built a team. You have a great team. And one thing I'm always impressed with, and I'd love if you could share a little bit about maybe how you approach this or why you started thinking about this. You document processes and you have systems in place, and it makes it possible for you to grow your team and have really a team of a lot of really great folks. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Procedures are crucial in any kind of business. I mean, I'm old, I forget, but my staff also forgets, and we need to have an agreement on how we're going to do things. So we spend a lot of time in implementing procedures. I have a good friend, Chris Prigmore, who has helped me develop those procedures over the years and put it into place for us. And we use those procedures every day. They're just access on our computer that everyone has access to. And we're like, what are we supposed to do in a settlement disbursement?
Yeah, and we'll have a conversation about marketing. And your thought is, you know, the first place you go is, okay, how do we update the procedure for that?
Which I just
love that way of thinking.
And it's very, very rare in small business. For what you're describing, as a matter of fact, is very rare.
Well, you're usually so busy running the business that you forget to develop the business and
right.
you forget to take the time to put those procedures in place to protect the business. But I love that you bring that up, Danny. It's really helped me grow it, helped me scale it so that I don't have to be the only one
it gives you some
teaching
balance
my
in
staff
life. Yeah.
everything. I can say, you know the procedures, read that, follow this, and go forward.
Well, and I've heard Joe say many times, like, you know, if you want to build a business that grows in value and one day you can sell, yeah. right? It can't all be on your shoulders, right, Joe?
Especially a business like hers where she is the one with all the knowledge, right? And if you've got policy and procedures, she can start to share that knowledge and information and where others can find it. It's very helpful in the future when she's ready to slow down, step back. She'll have a lot of value there.
Well, that's...
Well done.
Thank you for complimenting me on that. Well, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the sale of my business, absolutely. But I see that that's already been put in place.
Yeah, you're doing well. Okay, I got a question from Facebook.
Okay.
What if... They're back to the professional. They like the Panther thing, right?
Right.
What if it is perceived as an intentional harm from another player? They're giving the example of Lawrence Taylor or Joe Theismann. Does that happen where even though we're in a professional setting, it was an intentional hurt?
Yeah, so I actually recently mediated a case for a well-known player where we had a variety of injuries, right? We had the concussion, we had an ankle sprain, we had a shoulder sprain, but we also had a specific hit. There was a penalty on the other player. We were playing the Falcons. A specific hit and a penalty, and that's still compensable as a workers' compensation claim, and in fact, even more because it's something.
You lost me with compensable.
Oh, sorry. It should be accepted and paid by the workers' compensation insurance company.
Interesting.
Because it's an injury by accident. It's something unlooked for and outside of the normal course and scope of employment. So, because it was a foul, it's beyond the rules of the game. So that absolutely makes it an accidental injury.
So Danny, every time we see a yellow flag, I'm gonna start thinking, Martha call might get Martha. Him some money. Martha might get him some money.
Call Martha. You see the flag go?
When you see the flag, Martha. Think of Martha.
There you go. Exactly right. Exactly right.
That was a great question. I would have thought about that. You got another question, Danny, you wanna ask?
I said, the conversation around systems and all of that, I just think is so important. So I would love it.
It's very rare in professional service businesses to have that. That really is rare and unique, and it really will allow you to have a better lifestyle. It will also allow you to have an operational business that, and you hit on it, that you're not retraining an employee every single time somebody leaves.
So then my question was going to be, how does someone get started, right? Because we have a lot of business owners who listen to this, who's maybe a one-man shop, two-man shop. How would you advise someone to get started? Because it can feel overwhelming.
Great question.
Right?
It can feel overwhelming. And what I would just say is start with whatever you have, because it's all going to change at some point. And that was my biggest flaw at the beginning, was I wanted to have it to be perfect. I wanted it to have all the chapters and all the things outlined. But what I realized over time is just have anything in writing.
It's a live build.
It's a live, it's a live document. It's going to grow. It's going to change as you get different employees, as you change your procedures, it's going to come in and change. So just recognize that it's not going to be perfect. There might be stuff that's outdated. That's okay. When you go to train on that, or someone goes to train on it, we'll update it as we go. So think of it as kind of a live, breathing document, and just start with whatever you have.
And that could be part of the policy. If there's an area in which is in question, here's how we review it.
Exactly right. I say to my staff, we don't understand this. Let's come together. Let's talk about it. We agree on what it is. And I say, who's going to write the procedure for that? And then they're charged with going back and putting that into writing.
Well, in a lot of cases, that leads to really interesting conversations where you rethink, right? Like, what is the best way to do this? And how can we provide a better experience for our clients, right?
Exactly. And in fact, sometimes when I see it in writing, what my staff wrote up for me, I then realize, I'm missing an opportunity here. I could have seen this. We could also do it this way. And then I'm able to see it and kind of make a modification to it and then republish that back out to everybody. And we're like, we are all on the same page. Literally, we're all on the same page.
Right. So we've only got a few seconds. So if there's somebody out there that's been harmed and they feel like maybe, maybe not, right? What are they looking for? What makes me want to pick up the phone and call you, right? What's different about that?
You want to call me if you are worried about being able to go back to your job. You want to call me if you had a work injury that required a surgery, for sure you absolutely want to speak, even if you don't call me, call some attorney about your workers' compensation.
No, call Martha.
But those to me are the two most significant criteria in evaluating whether you should call an attorney.
If you can't get back to work.
Can't get back to work or had a surgery.
Martha Ramsey with Ramsey Law Firm. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
See you next week.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville. W290DK, Mooresville. W260 4CU, Statesville.